Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. There's nothing like making the leap to entrepreneurship that will kick up all your stuff. And if you struggle with imposter syndrome or feeling not good enough or needing things to be perfect, these mental habits will only be amplified when you're making the big move of starting your own business. Welcome to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. Before we get started, I want to give a shout out to Charlotte, who wrote us a review this week. Incredibly impactful, Charlotte says. I love these podcasts. They are bite-sized for daily inspiration and always leave me with actionable solutions. Today, I have a brand new approach for finding my customers' pain points that came to me while listening to Why Your Marketing Plan Isn't Working. Thank you. So thank you, Charlotte, for the podcast love. And I'm so glad you're putting this info to use in your own business. Your clients are really lucky to have you. And today I have a real treat for you, my friends. One of my amazing clients, Paige Lawrence, is here to share with you her journey from Olympic athlete to executive coach and entrepreneur, and share some of the most effective tools and strategies she's using with her clients in executive performance and coaching. So this episode marks the first in a series on mastering your inner game. Your mindset is a primary asset that will either bring you to new heights and experiencing more confidence and fulfillment, or keep you stuck in a place of fear and uncertainty that can at times feel paralyzing. And we don't want that for you. So grab your journal or re-listen to this episode later so that you can capture all the juicy insight that Paige is about to drop on us today. So welcome, Paige. Welcome to Life After Corporate.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today.
I'm so excited.
And we know that you have your amazing dog, Jazz, in the background with you today. And Jazz is, what kind of dog is Jazz?
She's a Bernedoodle. So she's a Bernese cross with a poodle. And in my opinion, she's the cutest dog in the world.
She is the cutest dog ever. And she is not small. She is a big, cute dog, right?
Yeah, I like tried to bring her into this little like nook in my room with me, and we were too crowded with like two of us in here. So she's traipsing around the bedroom right now.
Oh my goodness. So your path was different than mine was, and most of the listeners from Life After Corporate who are making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. You were an elite athlete. I guess you're still an elite athlete who made this leap. So what was it like for you starting over after your Olympic career to transitioning to entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's like a loaded question because there's just so many facets of what that transition was like. But I mean, the long and short of it is that I went from the epitome of success, you know, the Olympics, total change of direction, wasn't planning on retiring, but it ended up being what happened. And I took these few years of trying to figure out where my next passion lied, what I was interested in. Like, it was just this whole journey of self-discovery. And then I found, you know, executive performance coaching, which I love. And as I started to build my own business, it was very interesting to recognize the parallels that I coached others on be relatable to myself. Like, I was living the journey and the parallels that I speak about to my clients. And so it was just so interesting to go from the peak all the way down to the bottom of the mountain, starting over, being a beginner again. And I still feel like I'm learning a lot on this journey, but it's been an interesting kind of contrast.
Yeah.
Complementing contrast.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to dig more into that because I'm curious to learn more about some of the mindset hurdles that you went through as you were starting over. You know, there's something to be said for a beginner's mind, right? Because it's so exciting and anything is possible. But also, what were some of the challenges that you found yourself into? So, you know, to be an Olympic athlete was a lot of work. And I would think not only just the physical work, but the mental work. So what was some of the mental practices that got you to the peak of your game when you were in the Olympics?
So focusing just on the athlete journey and like what some of the things were that got me to the Olympics, I think was growing from this person that wanted to do these things and that thought like, oh, maybe that'd be cool, evolving into the person that knows I am capable of achieving those things. And that was a game changer for me, recognizing my strengths and areas that I could improve upon and knowing that I always could be doing better, but yet the foundation of like, wow, I am enough at this level is also really empowering. And then, I mean, just being a crazy athlete, we analyze absolutely every little thing. So finding a way to do that in a way that led to positive results rather than just to this perfectionist where nothing was ever good enough. So kind of like knowing I'm good enough, aiming to be better and tweaking and fine tuning and being super constructive in my work ethic and doing it in a way that fed my confidence. And then I guess there's just also some of the pieces of being able to perform under pressure. So putting all the puzzle pieces together in the moment when it mattered. Those were some of the things I think that were helpful to me as an athlete. But as you were talking, one of the things that stood out to me when I'm thinking about, you know, what made me a successful athlete and then, you know, the entrepreneur journey that I'm on, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself by talking about these parallels. But when I started out as an entrepreneur, even though I'm an Olympian, even though I'm like this super capable human that I've proven to myself that I am, I still felt my own self saying like, who am I to think that I can run my own business? Like, how dare I envision this amazing entrepreneurial, like businesswoman future for myself? Like, I'm just little old me. Like, that you can't do that. You know, how dare you? And it was so interesting because I was comparing myself at the beginning of my entrepreneur journey to the end version, like Olympic version of myself as an athlete. And that's not a fair comparison. Instead, I had to remind myself to like compare myself to the early version of Paige, you know, the one that was just exploring the possibility of the Olympics and like, what if? Because those journeys are very parallel. And that was a really welcome comparison for me because it kind of was like, oh yeah, like it's okay to be in this stage. It's okay to have these thoughts, but it's not okay to give life to them.
Paige, you are so special. And there's so much that I loved about working with you. And it's one of these things. It was that positivity that you brought to everyone who was in your Launch Lab cohort. And to me as well, it was so interesting. So let's talk about that because that is a rare skill. Most of us aren't born with that ability to turn this, who am I, or what am I doing here, or I'm not good enough, into something that says, you know, I am where I need to be. Of course, this is where I need to be. So do you have some secret sauce or tips for us? Like, what is that insight when you were obviously critical of your own performance, analyzing your moves, and we should tell people what you did in the Olympics too.
Oh yeah. So I was a figure skater. So I was a pair figure skater. So I was the one that did like the lifts and the throws with my partner on the ice, got chucked across the ice and landed things. And I loved it. Like it was, I'm a little bit of a thrill seeker. So that aspect was so fun. I'm a forever diehard figure skating fanatic. I loved figure skating. If I could still be figure skating, I still would be. But this old body doesn't want to.
It's so beautiful. I love it. It's one of my favorite parts of the Olympics is watching the Paris figure skating. So how were you able to do that? I mean, is it something you learned from your coaches or did you come upon this yourself? How did you create that mindset hack?
I think, so this is one of the things that I've had to spend some time, like, how is this such a knee-jerk reaction for me? And I think two parts, it was kind of like a twofold thing. So one, our training environment, like my story from the get-go, is one that really shouldn't have happened. Like we grew, I skated in the middle of nowhere, Saskatchewan. My town had like 200 people in it. My skating partner had never done pairs before. My coach had never coached pairs before. And yet we decided we wanted to do this thing. And so we just had to constantly find ways to do it. As simple as that. Like we didn't have the time or space to allow the like, ooh, maybe you can't, or like, what if this doesn't work? Because we were too busy finding solutions. Like we literally, our first year of skating together, brought a TV VCR out onto the side of the boards and watched pair skaters do things, and we'd pause and rewind and teach ourselves the thing. So I think at the very basics, like core of my skating career, I was an answer finder, a solution finder, like a forward mover, like period. So I think that mindset that I had to embrace it early on in my career laid the foundation for me to make the progress that I did. And then I think in the later years, if I can just share a quick story, it's kind of pivotal to who I am, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Let's hear it.
So the year leading up to the Olympics, so 2013, we had my coach, my partner and I, we had this awesome plan in order to get to the Olympics, and we made it back in April. And long story short, the plan did not go according to plan. I had some injuries that really made us shift our plan. And I ended up pulling or straining my groin, my hamstring, and my psoas muscle, which is a muscle in your abs, about 3 months out from the Olympics. Wow. And I was obviously devastated and frustrated and angry and all of the things that I don't like to tell people, but I hit a real low. And my sports psychologist had this hard conversation with me. And essentially he said, you can keep going down this path where you're angry, you're frustrated, you have these like poor me thoughts, and you won't make the Olympics. Or we can start to create thoughts that are in alignment with going to the Olympics. And we can start to create baby steps that are in alignment with going to the Olympics. And maybe you won't make it, you know, like maybe it won't happen, but at least you know that you chose the path to set yourself up for it. And I had to go back and totally train in a different way. I couldn't jump. I could barely skate. And we just started focusing on these really small, like I practiced facial expressions and like arm movements in front of a mirror for a couple of days, because that's all I could do. And we just focus on little things, and step by step, my attitude changed. I fell back in love with skating. I reconnected with my partner on the ice. I alleviated some of the stress. And I went into that Olympic qualifying event, not at my best technically, but stronger mentally than I had ever been before. And I mean, spoiler alert, like we made the Olympics. So obviously we skated, we skated okay at this event. And that was such a pivotal moment in my life where I like purposely chose to focus on the thoughts that helped me as opposed to the thoughts that didn't help me. And that's been something that I've taken into the rest of my life and the rest of my career, just at this like fundamental core belief that I can control that and I get to choose what I want to focus on. So why don't I focus on something that will help me rather than that take me in the opposite direction of my goals?
There's so much richness in what you've just described I feel like it should be a Netflix series from, you know, the kids skating on the ice in Saskatchewan and they say, hey, let's go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
To, you know, actually qualifying for the Olympics and then having that setback and being able to get into the choice of the moment. And I think that's the big takeaway from the story that you've just shared, is that we all get sucked down, you know, whether it's something that happens in an interaction with someone else, or you get a poor review, or something happens physically that really takes you down. The fact that everyone has a choice of how to think about it, I think, is extraordinary. So when you were in that moment and you started doing the baby steps, I love the baby steps. that was amazing because by doing the baby steps, you started shifting the energy and thinking and feeling differently. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
So how does this impact what you do with your clients today? And I love that you do performance coaching because it's so aligned to who you are as an elite athlete. Mm-hmm. And so talk to us about, you know, where do your clients struggle? They're mm-hmm. obviously not athletes on the ice. They're struggling in a different way. And how are you coaching them out of those situations?
Yeah. So I think, like, the reason why I like to call it performance coaching is because I saw firsthand how my actions, my beliefs impacted the results I achieved. And I think the same is true for entrepreneurs, business owners, and yet often we don't see it in such simple terms as that. Because it's easy to see the external factors that affect your results as opposed to, like, what am I doing? So for me, I really, when I work with my clients, I like to break it down into three main, like, facets. So I talk about their preparation, their execution, and their ownership. So preparation is the planning, the creating a game plan, you know, setting yourself up for success, which means, like, goal planning, like performance goal planning, which I talk about as internally validated goals. So, like, ownership is on you. Your contributions, how you're really just organizing yourself that to align with your vision. Then we talk about execution. So how are you walking the talk? Maybe where are you missing some opportunities in how you're putting yourself out there? What habits are helping you? What habits are not helping you? Being able to adapt and make changes, like, mid-stride to still hit those goals. Really kind of just, like, doing the work. I think that people get very misaligned because they're so busy being busy. And then we also talk about the ownership, which I think is that having the confidence to say, hey, I don't know if I can say, like, be a badass, but I'm a badass. I'm awesome as I'm striving to be better. Because I think that this is often when all that mental junk, the mind chatter, the self-sabotage, those things can sneak in and totally rob from us what we could be doing. And so I focus on those three different areas to really fine tune what you are doing so that you end up getting different results. So the ownership is on you. I focus on what is in your control rather than the world around you. And I think that to me, that's empowering. To me, it's like I'm giving you the ability, I'm helping you take control of your own ability to do the things that you want to do. Did I answer your question? Did I just go off into la la land being excited about what I do?
No, that answered my question. No, it's great. And I was just thinking, you know, when I was first launching The Great Do-Over and helping women in midlife start over, that, you know, anyone could press reset at any time and mm-hmm. be whoever they wanted to be. You can step into a new starring role. You can learn a new skill. You can leave the safety of the corporate world and jump into the pool of entrepreneurship. And so many people do make things mean things. So I'm sure you see this with your clients too. We make up meanings for things, you know. So let's just say an entrepreneur delivers a new online training or a webinar for the first time, and they're making an offer, join me in my program, and it's $9.97. And then there's crickets, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. they make something. So I find my clients make that mean something about them, as opposed mm-hmm. to realizing that, wow, you know, what did you learn from that experience? What was good about it? So I had a coach, Natasha, who taught me when I first got started, what was your like to best and your next time? You know, so what did you learn mm-hmm. from that? And then once you let go of the meaning, like that meant something about you, then you can continue mm-hmm. to engage and be the badass, like you said, be the badass that you really are and go after the people who, you know, just need more time. They need more handholding. They need more time with you.
Yeah.
So do you find people make meaning of things that happen around them?
Absolutely. It's hard not to. I get it, you know, because what you're doing, you're putting your heart and soul into. So it's hard not to see it as a reflection of who you are, but it's separate. It's like you get to be you and you create your results. Your results are not you. And I think that that is something that I do very well. And I almost didn't even realize it as a superpower until, you know, years after retiring from skating, because as a skater, there was no time to feel sorry for yourself. There was no time to like have hurt, to have an ego in the training and the competing. It was all about what can I do to make me better? And how can I process this information, win, lose, draw, fall on your butt, to make it better? And I just thought that was like how everyone did life. And I've realized that it's not, but that's something that I think is so a powerful thing that I have to offer people is it's like, hey, your results are not you. You can be something entirely different, mix up a whole bunch of different things, and you get to create your results. And there's a difference.
Wow. Does that make sense? Yes. And I hope everyone just, that was a mic drop moment. Your results are not you, right? Your results are not you. So tell us a story. You know, obviously don't change names to protect the innocent. But tell us a story or two about one of your clients where you've worked with your results are not you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of my clients, she was working in her business, trying to like work towards this like big bonus that she'd set up for herself. And there was a bad month. And it was like, oh my gosh, maybe I can't do this. Like, maybe this is a reflection of like everything that I did. And she did a lot of things right. Like that's like, you're again, your results are not you, but it was such a mental garbage trap for her where she got stuck in the fact that like, no one is listening to what I'm doing. Like, I'm not the person that's capable of doing this. Like, maybe I should just stay here tucked away in this little area that I know I can stay like achieve success at. And for us, it was removing the like, I am this and saying, what could I change about what I did rather than what could I change about who I am? What could I change about what I did this past month that will potentially give me some very different results? And so it sounds simple, you know, but it's just kind of brainstorming. And every time you get stuck in that trap of like, oh no, I can't, like I have to be a different person. It's like, no, what if you don't have to be a different person? What are some things you could change about what you did? And I think that that's a really simple place to start.
It's detachment. Detachment from the fact that this means anything about you and putting it, you know, over here. My hand is moving to the other side of my desk, you know, putting it over there and, you know, looking at it from an objective way and not personalizing it. And I think so, you mentioned ego before. I think so much of what we do when our performance is tied to our identity. And that's interesting because it seems like you have mastered that your performance is your performance. Your identity is something completely separate that you own.
Yeah, it's something that I still put a lot of time and effort working like into enhancing. But it was so interesting to see this client of mine work through this kind of for the first time, because as we started saying, I have to do things, I have to be different. Once we started changing from that to, oh, I can do this different and I can do this different, it was so incredibly freeing for her. She started showing up in her work like excited because of about the changes she could make. She was energized. She put more time and effort into it. She gained confidence and she ended up getting a $50,000 bonus.
Wow.
Like, yeah, I know. And like the $50,000 is awesome, but the results of this little experiment for her have been longer lasting than that 50 grand. Like, she's a totally different gal in her business right now. She believes in herself. She knows that who she is doesn't have to change when something goes wrong. She can take a look at, oh, oops, like could have done better there. And it's like a freeing, I love the word attachment. It's been a freeing detachment for her.
Yeah. And you know,
that pumps me up.
That's real return on advantage. And that's what we talked about in a recent episode, a really short episode of what are the longer term effects of the transformation that you're making in your work. And so her ROI for working with you might have been 50 grand, but her return on advantage is this newfound confidence, this ability to detach performance from identity and to, you know, what is she going to do now in the world? Just making a bigger impact, making bolder moves, embracing her badass, right? So that's so interesting. I have a question for you that I'm really interested to hear your perspective on it. So as we go on this journey of entrepreneurship, you know, the very first stage is making that leap, right? And you talked about feeling like a beginner and you didn't know what you were doing. And then there's this level of competence like, oh, okay, so I've got a six-figure business and it's rocking and rolling, but now I need to level up. I need to, you know, shoot for the seven-figure goal. And that means hiring a team. That means, you know, investing money in places. What do you see some of the challenges? Or even if you don't haven't worked with someone on that level, but what are some of the challenges that when people are leveling up to the next big stage? Because I feel like we have to, it's almost like opening up your heart to be able to embrace and see yourself in a bigger way and value yourself in a bigger way in order to make those moves. Do you see that too?
Absolutely. Because I think even it's like a level up is still a change. It's still a transition. And with that, even like you've maybe mastered the level that you're at, you know, you're preparing, you're executing, you're owning where you're at. As you level up, there's shifts because all of a sudden there's room for growth again. And that brings up a lot of those, I think, like kind of reoccurring like mental gremlins, you know, the voices that you heard when you're beginning your journey, they're probably an elevated version when you're leveling up into your seven-figure business. They pop back up again. And it's like every single time you change, transition, grow, evolve, you're still going to have to go back and fight those same battles in a different way. Like, I'm not saying they're all the same, but I think that we're presented with this idea of like, just like I said at the beginning, of who am I? When you level up again, you have new questions that challenge, like, why should I deserve this? And what do I have to do differently? There's that growth stage. And so in growth, you have to put the work back into it. You know, it's not the same.
Give us something concrete. Like what kind of work, you know, when you're leveling up, is it the work the same as the work you do when you're just getting started, or is it different?
Same and different, I think. So the stages are still the same for me, like preparation, execution, ownership. They're all the same, but you can't prepare the same when you're the only employee as when you have a team of five. So your preparation, we need to look at what can maintain the same. And what needs to be different? When we're planning our goals, it's not just your goals, it's how do I infiltrate that into my team? So it's looking at what is new. Like, what am I adding into the preparation stage? I think when you're in that place, it's like learning how to map out what individual contributions are. Creating monthly focus goals for the team that all add up together, you know, so they fit under the same umbrella. Little things like that you used to do so well by yourself. Now it's like, okay, wait, I have to have a cohesive plan. When you're rolling into execution mode, like there's more dice that you're playing with. So we need to make sure that I'm executing really precisely. Example, when I was a single skater, it was just me. I need to know what I need to know in order to perform at my best. And then I introduced a partner into the mix and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to do stuff to help him. Like, what? You know, if I want us to be our best, we both have to be our best. So there's just a little bit more, communication that goes into it. Learning how members on your team function at their best, perform at their best, breaking those things down to create your individual, like ideal performance states so that you're all thriving. And then in the ownership of it, all of a sudden you went from, you know, solopreneur to I'm a leader. Like, what does that mean? Like, what does that label break down to? Like, how can I be a leader if I don't even know what I'm doing? So I find that when people elevate their game like that, there's so many questions that come up about, again, identity. and what they want to be and what that means. And so breaking it down again into like, okay, what do you want to do to be a leader, as opposed to, well, how do I be a leader? I don't know if those are concrete enough.
Yeah, that's great.
Or
yeah. So, you know, definitely there's a lot of new skills that need to be developed once you go from individual contributor to a leader of a team, and certainly communications, processes, you know, being able to help your team deal from their strengths and, you know, communicating expectations, communicating the vision. It's a whole different. And I remember when I was in the corporate world and I went from my individual contributor role to launching a line of business, and suddenly, you know, over 30 months, I had hired so many people. There were now 53 people working for me. And that was a completely different, mm-hmm. completely different role. So part of it is, you know, identifying the type of business that you want to run. You know, do you want to be leading a big team, or do you want a lifestyle business? You know, you can make several hundred thousand dollars just with a virtual team helping you out. So it's, you know, it's all a matter of what your vision is. So Paige, before we wind up our session today, and this has been such a great conversation, I've loved chatting with you and learning more about your entrepreneurial journey and how you have taken the skills that you learned as an Olympic athlete and applied them not only to your own entrepreneurial journey, but to helping other entrepreneurs and small business owners. If there is one last, like, insider secret that you could share, what would that be?
Yeah. So I think my secret sauce maybe would be to remember that you are your own best asset, period. Like, you get to be a unique individual, not just in what you offer, but how you operate. And that's one thing I bring into my coaching is, although I have these three buckets that I focus on, I really try to see where you're at, what you're going through, and to coach you. And that's something that I learned through skating, something I've learned as an entrepreneur, that it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. Because you are your best resource. And in those tough moments, it's like, I just want people to do what's best for them, to dig into their resourcefulness rather than depending on resources around them, and to just trust the fact that you are so much more capable and awesome than you may initially think that you are. You know, that's what I bring into my coaching, is I believe in you and I believe in your potential, and I'm going to help you figure out what that looks like. But you get to do that on your own also.
That's awesome. I believe in you. You're more capable and awesome than you see yourself to be. And you need Paige to help you get there. So Paige, how do people stay in contact with you? Do you have something that you can share, or how do they find you?
Yeah, great question. So I'm on Instagram at Paige Lawrence Coaching. I'd love for you to follow along there. I also am just launching this new thing called a performance diagnostic, where you take a quick little quiz. We have a half hour call where we can pinpoint some of the areas you're doing really well in to give you like that boost of confidence. And then I'll offer some suggestions for some different areas that you could be doing a little better in, because I always think that, you know, you can do better. And so I'll give you the link for that if you guys want to sign up. Normally it's $50, but I'll give Dev a code and you guys can do it for free.
All right. That sounds awesome, Paige. Thank you so much. And definitely go and take that performance diagnostic quiz. We will put that link in our show notes. And Paige, thank you so much for joining in on the conversation today. I'm so happy that I kicked off this mindset series with our interview.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to chat with you. And I mean, I love talking about this stuff.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode, my friend, and are leaving with ideas and strategies that you can apply to your own business. And if you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not getting very far in your business, it's time for you to make some tracks and get some great results for your efforts. There's nothing worse than being burned out by a bad business model and struggling to figure out what's wrong. That's why I created the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs, for people like you who are committed to success and who want to make an impact through your work without taking years to get there. Because what I know for sure is that most people who think they have a marketing problem actually have an offer problem. It's not that you haven't learned how to market your business. Goodness knows there are thousands of courses and programs out there to help you do that. It's that you don't have an offer or a package solution that's really landing with your ideal client. It could be your offer, it could be your target client, and it could be your messaging. All of those three pieces need to be singing in perfect harmony for you to have a growing, successful six-figure business. And I want to help you get there. The Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs is open for enrollment. And if you feel ready to rock your business idea and replace your paycheck, then it's time for you to apply. In just 12 weeks, we take you from an idea about your business to a tested, validated business model. At the end of the Launch Lab, here's what you'll end up with. First, confidence in your business because you have proof and maybe a couple of pre-orders already that people want your offer. You'll have a smoking hot one-page business plan that describes each of the building blocks of your business, from a precise description of your customer to your service packages to your revenue model. You'll have an income forecast, my friend, where you'll be able to demonstrate, if only to yourself, how much money you anticipate making based on real market calculations. And you'll have a menu of packages that you're ready to sell at prices that set you up to live a comfortable lifestyle from the start. And, of course, a messaging strategy that resonates with your ideal customers so that you can clearly articulate what you do. And if this is getting you excited, my friend, go to launchlabassessment.com right now and apply. If you're selected because it looks like a good fit for you in the Launch Lab, we'll reach out with the time for you and I to chat about your business idea and the potential that I see for you in the market. You will see your business opportunity through a new set of eyes and likely see where you may have been getting in your own way up until now. We only have a few spots left, so if you're listening to this now and getting that urge to apply, don't be kicking yourself in the pants later. I'm a big fan of Nike's slogan, just do it. Time is short, my friend. You've got this, and I've got your back. Talk to you real soon. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.